Translation. I first offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my instructing spiritual master and all of my instructing spiritual masters. Please repeat. I first offer my respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of my initiating spiritual master and all my instructing spiritual masters. Purport by His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami, in his thesis Bhakti Sandhava 202, has stated that uncontaminated devotional service is the objective of pure Vaishnavas, and that one has to execute such service in the association of other devotees. By associating with devotees of Krishna, one develops a sense of Krishna consciousness and thus becomes inclined toward the loving service of the Lord. This is the process of approaching the Supreme Lord by gradual appreciation in devotional service. If one desires unalloyed devotional service, one must associate with devotees of Sri Krishna, for by such association only can a conditioned soul achieve a taste for transcendental love and thus revive his eternal relationship with Godhead in a specific manifestation and in terms of the specific transcendental mellow, rasa, that one has internally inherent in him. If one develops love of Krishna by Krishna conscious activities, one can know the Supreme Absolute Truth. But he who tries to understand God simply by logical argument will not succeed, nor will he get a taste for unalloyed devotion. The secret is that one must submissively listen to those who know perfectly the science of God, and one must begin the mode of service regulated by the preceptor. A devotee already attracted by the name, form, qualities, etc. of the Supreme Lord may be directed to his specific manner of devotional service. He need not waste time in approaching the Lord through logic. The expert spiritual master knows well how to engage his disciples' energy in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, and thus he engages the devotee in a specific devotional service according to his special tendency. A devotee must have only one initiating spiritual master, because in the scriptures acceptance of more than one is always forbidden. There is no limit, however, to the number of instructing spiritual masters one may accept. Generally, a spiritual master who constantly instructs a disciple in a spiritual science becomes an initiating spiritual master later on. One should always remember that a person who is reluctant to accept a spiritual master and be initiated is sure to be baffled in his endeavor to go back to Godhead. One who is not properly initiated may present himself as a great devotee, but in fact, he is sure to encounter many stumbling blocks on his path of progress towards spiritual realization, with the result that he must continue his term of material existence without relief. Such a helpless person is compared to a ship without a rudder, for such a ship can never reach its destination. It is imperative, therefore, that one accept his spiritual master, if he at all desires to gain the favor of the Lord. The service of the spiritual master is essential. If there is no chance to serve the spiritual master directly, a devotee should serve him by remembering his instructions. There is no difference between the spiritual master's instructions and the spiritual master himself. In his absence, therefore, his words of direction should be the pride of the disciple. If one thinks that he is above consulting anyone else, including a spiritual master, he is at once an offender at the lotus feet of the Lord. Such an offender can never go back to Godhead. It is imperative that a serious person accept a bona fide spiritual master in terms of a Shastra injunction. Srila Jiva Goswami advises that one not accept a spiritual master in terms of hereditary or customary so-called and ecclesiastical convention. One should simply try to find a genuine qualified spiritual master for actual advancement in spiritual understanding. Omagyanata Mundashyaginam Janashalakaya Chakshu Shumadatam Dena Tasmai Sigurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Tapitam Dena Bhutale Swayam Rupakanam Mayam Dalanti Swapanantikam Mojavalaya Krishna Vidaya Gurule Shmati Sri Gogavinda Swamati Namani Mojavalaya Krishna Vidaya Gurule Shmati Bhakta Vulanta Swam Nityanamani Namaste Sarasati Devam Gauravani Pachanini Nevishesha Shunivadi Pastitavistanin. So a few points have been brought out in this particular purport. It is a very important purport, a very important text, isn't it? This is a very famous. Anyone studied this text before? Yes, it's very important, because the whole key to success, it seems, in spiritual life is to be getting instructions from someone who has understood Krishna. Otherwise, how is it that we are going to extract ourselves from the material energy? Because the conditioned soul, in identifying with his body and mind for millions and millions of births, he is conditioned in so many different ways. He's constantly identifying with his body. He's constantly hankering, lamenting, feeling the dualities of life. Isn't it? It's true. And in identifying with this material body, he completely forgets his spiritual identity. He completely forgets. He's completely wrapped in bodily consciousness. And therefore, the first teaching Krishna gives to Arjuna is that you're not the body. Because in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he wanted to act according to the likes and dislikes of his body, wasn't it? On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, he thought that, yes, I will not kill these kinsmen and these relatives. This is not good. So Krishna immediately brought him to the transcendental platform and told him, actually, why are you lamenting for this body? You're not the body. You're a spirit soul. You're eternal. And Krishna gives the qualities of the soul there. So it's the same for us. We are situated in this material body. Although we may know theoretically, yes, we are not the body, we are the eternal servants of Krishna. To realize that topic is not such an easy thing. It has to become vigyan, isn't it? Gyan, vigyan, realized knowledge. This is done. And also, without a guru, one will always act furtively. He will always have that furtive tendency. He will not dedicate his life for the pleasure of the guru and Krishna. His every action will be for his pleasure. That's a fact. This is called furtive activity. Krishna speaks about that in Bhagavad. We must stop this furtive activity. This action, either in the gross body or the subtle body. We must stop this. This cannot be done without taking instructions and associating with a spiritual master. And as it says here, you can Diksha Guru and Shiksha Guru. There's no difference between Diksha and Shiksha Guru. There's no difference. Prabhupada says it like that. So you can have any number of Shiksha Gurus, and then you have a Diksha Guru. So that is an important point. Because in the history of our parampara, like in our parampara, for instance, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his Shiksha Guru was Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. It is not always Diksha Guru in our line, it is Shiksha and Diksha. So there's no difference. And as Prabhupada said, we can take many, many Shiksha Gurus. In fact, the whole idea of the association of devotees is so we can give Shiksha to one another, we can help each other. And Prabhupada gives the analogy of if you go to the stock exchange, there's an association of people who want to make money. And they associate together and they get ideas and bounce ideas off and inspire each other to make money. And so that is, so it depends who you associate with. So similarly, Prabhupada set this society up so we can inspire each other and we can associate with each other. You may say, well, I don't want to associate with this devotee or that devotee because I don't think his association is very good for me. Because in our society, you may get different sorts of devotees. That's a fact. Prabhupada says in one Prabhupada. Even if you do not take, even if you think that in the international society of Krishna consciousness there's no pure devotees, then just associate with the spiritual master directly. He says that in one Prabhupada. But actually, it's quite a proud position to think that one that there's no benefit, because you will definitely find benefit in associating with all types of devotees. And in associating with devotees, there's three methods. There's the devotees who are junior to one. One may try to instruct and inspire and help with their spiritual life. One, devotees who are like us in a similar state of consciousness, one makes friends with. And then there's more advanced devotees than us. And the more advanced devotees, we should take instruction and hear from. So that is the points being brought out here. I've made a few notes of a few things. Shri Shri Radha Gokananda, Sitara Maksim Hanuman, Shri Shri Gauri Taiki. Yeah. So also the process of purifying ourselves. First thing is there is some faith. We have to have some faith. Prabhupada defines faith as unflinching faith in something sublime, because transcendental knowledge is very sublime. To know oneself as a spiritual being and act in that relationship is a very sublime state of mind. What do we mean by sublime? Anyone like to say? What is the definition of sublime?
Elevated.
Huh?
Elevated.
Elevated? Is that what it says in the English dictionary?
No.
I did, but no, this is what we think. Sublime, anyone else? Something sublime. What do we say sublime? Lovely word, isn't it? Sublime. Prabhupada uses that word. Huh? Something very deep, something very transcendental, something very blissful, something extraordinarily wonderful. Because that is our state. That is a fact. Our state is something extraordinarily wonderful in our spiritual consciousness. It's only because we've forgotten that we cannot properly remember that. So faith comes from associating with devotees. Faith in Krishna is a very important thing, because we have had the association of so many other things in our lives since we were children at school. We've been taught so many different things. We've been conditioned in so many ways. We turned the pages of our history books and we found that we come from apes, and from apes they gradually evolved into men, for instance, isn't it? Do you think that subtle conditioning is still there in us? Do you think that when we remember that, looking at that book, that still has an influence on our consciousness? I think sometimes it probably does. Western philosophy, Western ways of thinking, enjoy life, you know, to the full. These things we've been influenced by. This is why we're called we're conditioned. As young people, we did not necessarily hear this Krishna conscious philosophy and understand what the absolute truth was. So therefore, we are influenced. So therefore, we need association devotees who are experiencing this consciousness. And then after associating with devotees who are experiencing this sublime consciousness, one generally will after a period of time. He may select a specific person who becomes his spiritual master. Then he takes initiation. Now, the question is, what kind of person should we accept as a spiritual master? Now, Prabhupada gives indication in the nectar of instruction, one should accept Uttama. Isn't it? Have you read that? Who's read that? In the nectar of instruction. But actually, you can take initiation from Kanishtha, Madhyam, or Uttama. You can accept initiation from any one of these, but you will only advance to the level that person is at. Because how can someone give you something more than what he is experiencing himself? Therefore, it is recommended one should take initiation from Uttama. What is Uttama? How do we know? There are indications and their qualities are described in the in Madhya Lila, chapter 16, text number 74. The qualities of Uttama is described. And there's a list, I can give you some indications here. It says, he's always aware of Krishna conscious duty. So Uttama devotee is always aware of his Krishna conscious duty. He's enlightened in self-realization. He's always in unadulterated love with Krishna. He's always awake in transcendental realization. He sees everything in being connected to Krishna. And he also chants the holy name of the Lord perfectly. He awakens all to Krishna consciousness. He descends to the Madhyam platform to preach. And he does not distinguish who is fit and who is unfit. And he sees the soul of all souls within everything. And he is expert in understanding the Vedic literature and its understandings. And he can deliver the whole world. So this is kind of a list given here. So you could study that list. And Prabhupada also mentions that such an advanced soul, he's always preaching Krishna consciousness. That is his main service. He always wants to enlighten others in Krishna consciousness. So if you're going to take initiation, one should pray to Krishna for some guidance. If one prays to Krishna for some guidance, Krishna will help and inspire one within the heart. One time Prabhupada said to his disciples, how do you know Krishna is existing? And he was asking his disciples, how do you know Krishna is existing? I'm telling you, if I put the question to maybe you here, how do we know that Krishna is existing? Can anyone say? I mean, you could say, well, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, the Guru says it, but what is the... And Prabhupada was asking this question of, and one guest, his disciples were giving answers, no. And then one guest, he actually gave the right answer. Because he said, actually, I think Krishna is because I can feel him in my heart. And Prabhupada's eyes, yes, that is the answer. You can feel Krishna in the heart. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj also says similar things in that regard. That the Guru is in the heart, so one can take note of his inner heart, his direction being given, inspiration in the heart. But not just that. What you feel in your heart, you should clarify with sadhu, guru, and shastra. But that is one indication that in our own heart we are fear. So if you're feeling inspired in your heart for a specific service or a specific association of specific devotees, you can take, oh, Krishna is inspiring me in my heart. Isn't it? Do you think that's true? This is a fact. So when one takes initiation, the guru engages one in devotional service. There's a whole process going on of how to come to perfection. So first faith, then associate with devotees, then accept one devotee as your initiating guru. And you can also take shiksha from other devotees. It's not that, also in our line, it could be the case that your initiating guru is giving you some instructions over years, but later somebody or for some reason you may take inspiration from another great devotee. And then in that case, if you feel specifically inclined and you feel that Krishna wants you to take shelter of such a personality, then you can ask your spiritual master, my dear Guru Gurudev, can I please associate with this devotee because I feel great? And if the Guru is in agreement, then yes, that also goes on. So, engagement in devotional service is done. One is engaged in bhajana kriya, hearing, chanting, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, palasevanam, dasyam, mandanam. All these processes, these nine processes of devotional service, are given by the Guru. So this is the Guru's business. He's engaging us in that way. If we continue on engaging in devotional service seriously, without deviation, you will become attached to Krishna. You become, after engaging, you become very steady. You see, you have to become steady in your devotional life. And there's reasons why you may not become steady. Because your mind and senses will always be bothering you, because you've got this material body. So because you've got this material body, it'll always try to do something different. So one has to be very expert in ignoring the body and mind and keep to the instructions of the Guru. You have to develop faith in his instructions and not deviate from his instructions. If you do like that and learn to ignore, you become sama, very sober. If you ever see pictures of Srila Prabhupada, he always seems to be in that very sober frame of mind. Even though all around him chaos may be going on, or this might be happening, or some disturbance in the management, but he always remains very fixed in his own Krishna consciousness. So we have to learn to do that, to be tolerant of conditions that happen because of our lives, because of previous lives, because of this life, because we've got this material body. There's always going to be something to disturb us. But we have to go beyond that, perform austerity, and remain fixed. Try to be steady. Then if you remain steady, gradually a taste comes about. You actually begin to experience, your awakening of love of God comes about. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Subject Kavinoya Shravanadu Srila Chichi Karanadu Dai. This love of God is in the heart of all living entities. It just needs to be brought out. So if you remain steady in your sadhana, your hearing, chanting, your reading of books, your associating with devotees, it is bound to occur. After a while, you'll get taste. It's not an easy thing, and it may take time. And then when you have a taste, your attachment to Krishna increases more. Because what is that taste? You begin to experience your spiritual consciousness. You, when you're chanting Hare Krishna, you begin to intensely remember Krishna's qualities, forms, and pastimes. And you genuinely feel transcendental love awakening. So you should have faith in this process. This will happen to you if we stick to the path. This will happen. Do not think that we cannot achieve this. Well, we can all achieve such a thing if we stick to the path. But if we deviate, then, or if we commit offenses on the way, some of these things are put on hold. And if we, there's so many things why we would not get a taste, or the reason we become unsteady. There's so many reasons why. Krishna sends severe tests to his devotee. He'd take everything away, or like that sometimes. Or naturally in life, disturbances may come and go. And if the devotee continues on taking shelter of Krishna, Krishna becomes very pleased with that. You saw in the example of the Bhagavatam, so many stories are there where devotees have had difficulties in their lives. Prahlad Maharaj and others, Dhruva Maharaj, and you know, he was Dhruva Maharaj was, he was told not to sit on his mother's lap, wasn't it? Yeah. father's lap. Do not sit on your father's lap, is what a difficult thing. He did not despair. Rather, he became determined to take shelter of Krishna. So in any difficulty that comes about in our life, we really do have to tolerate it and take shelter of Krishna. If we do such thing, that means we're steady in our devotional commitment. I remember when I was the manager here, there was one devotee who went through some difficulties, and it was very difficult for him, but the first thing he did, he took his bead bag and threw it across the room. Yeah, because he was disturbed. So this can happen, you know, you can feel like that sometimes. You know, we may not physically take our bead bag and throw it across the room, we might feel discouraged at times in our spiritual life, isn't it? Who feels discouraged? I mean, you know, we do feel discouraged. And, these material desires keep, I didn't deal very well in this situation. I have so much lust, anger, greed. You know, you can feel. And this is what happens. Sometimes Krishna gives you a little taste, and then if we become proud of the tastes we have, and forget that that taste is by the mercy of Guru, Krishna, and devotees, the taste can be taken away. And again, back into the material world, back associating with this material body, back to lust, anger, greed, envy. This is again back into the bodily conception of life. So to escape the body and to always remain transcendentally situated, inspired, is not such an easy thing. And it is only by the mercy of Guru, Krishna, and the devotees that one can achieve that. So as the taste develops, you become attached to Krishna, and that attachment intensifies. This is the process. The attachment to Krishna becomes more intense, and this is your original attraction. Rati is called attraction. Prabhupada gave the comparison to a young boy and a young girl. He's automatically attracted. So in that same way, we should have that attraction to Krishna. But in Maya, we become attracted to, isn't it? We become spontaneously attracted to a young girl, or a young girl becomes spontaneously attracted to a young. But that original attraction, that rati, is meant for Krishna. That is a fact. So this is a whole science of gradually moving from one step to another step to another step. These are all set out by Rupa Goswami. And in the conversation of the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Rupa Goswami, all these things are discussed. So it's a great science. And then tenderness of heart comes about, and one's emotions become very strong. And these different emotions, these different spiritual emotions that one experiences, they're all named by Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami gives names for all these intense emotions that one may feel. So you may think, wow, this is very interesting. This is why Prabhupada says this is the science. This is the science of Krishna consciousness, how to gradually evolve spiritually and how to experience all these transcendental emotions. This is a fact. They can be done. But there is a process. So the guru, the spiritual master, he's the external representative of Krishna. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says that Krishna, in his active existence, is in six entities. He names it as gurus, the devotees, the avatars, divine manifestations, divine powers, and Godhead himself. Krishna is not separate from his entourage. So the guru and the devotees not different than Krishna, because they're working in the same energy, in the same divine energy. That's a fact. So therefore you never see the guru as an ordinary person. One should never see the devotees as an ordinary person. If you can see like that, and therefore Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says the guru is the embodiment of the manifestation of divinity in the pure receptive essence of the disciple. If you're in the right frame of mind, in a very humble frame of mind, and you're associating with the guru properly, you will see like that. He is the embodiment of the manifestation of divinity. Yeah, there's a fact. Although sometimes, because the Uttama He comes down to the Madhyam platform to preach. He may appear sometimes, oh, he's an ordinary man, he's doing management, he's doing this, he's doing that, he's talking to this one, he's talking to that one. But there is indication given that although he might be acting in a certain way externally, where is his internal consciousness? Therefore, in the stanzas to glorify the Guru, there is indication given there. Nikunja yuno ratikela siddhaya yayaliva. He is one of the intimate. In his spiritual consciousness, he is very intimately united with Krishna. And he's always siradhika madhava yorapada. He's very much enthused to hear and chant about Srimati Radharani and her gopis and all this type of consciousness, and the whole of Vrindavan is in his heart. This is a fact. But this is the quality of a. But we cannot see like that. We may not be able to see like that. But that is a fact. That is his real consciousness. That is his real position. He's awakened to that consciousness. And therefore, there were times with Srila Prabhupada when that particular type of truth would come to the forefront. So we should never see the Guru as an ordinary person, and it is a great offense. Similarly, to see the deity, the Achyavigraha form of Krishna, as marble statue. Some people say, oh, he's a marble statue. Why are you worshipping? Why are you bowing down before a marble statue? Some people from the outside, they will say like that. Well, they'll say similar thing. Why are you worshipping a person? He's just another person like you and me. That's what they'll say. They do not understand the truth of these men because they are mulha, they are unintelligent, they are outsiders. They have not got the subtleties to understand spiritual life. So, because the guru, he's the real recipient of the transcendental realm. He's receiving that from his guru and directly from Krishna. And he can communicate that knowledge to the disciple. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta says, the disciple is too small. He's too small a particle to be able to understand and receive the truth. The jiva is too small. He cannot understand. Krishna is way beyond his comprehension. Therefore, the guru, he is the recipient of that transcendental realm, and he can bestow that upon the disciple. So one should submissively hear from the Guru. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Tadvani Paripatana Paripashana Seva Ubalekshanti Deganam Gyanastafadashanam. So, he is the seer of the truth. He can initiate you into knowledge. This is a fact. So this is our whole process. Even other faiths may have a similar process, isn't it? I mean, if you go to a church, or the Muslims, or the Jewish people, they have their priests, and you go there and you hear from them. And you can be guided. So this is worldwide, this process of taking instruction is known in all faiths, actually. So the Guru should not be seen as an ordinary person. Yeah. In the Bhagavatam, 4th canto 29-39, 4th canto chapter 29, text 39, Prabhupada says, the devotee is always eager to hear from the lips of a liberated devotee. As soon as he hears from such a sadhu, he immediately becomes impregnated with Krishna consciousness. So there's a verse, Satam Pasanga Mama Vire Samvalo Valanti Kritkana Rasana Kata Tachosana Asmavagavatmani Shadaratya Bhakti Anushkumishate. So it's the secret of success. It was also mentioned in this text here, is hearing from the right person, someone who is not disturbed by bodily demands, Prabhupada says. This is some people say, you have to hear from the lips of a liberated devotee. Sometimes there's debates about this topic, isn't there? Mm-hmm. Have you heard the debates? People say, you don't have to hear directly from, you can just read Prabhupada's books. Some people say like that. But the fact is you have to hear directly from, it is not the books, but it is someone who's understood the books. Prabhupada says that as well. So you have to hear from sadhu, because even to come to the platform of understanding Srila Prabhupada's books, you may need some training. So you cannot deny the association of devotees in any case, and that's what Prabhupada said in the beginning of this purport. You need the association of devotees. So in their association, one develops training, and then he can progress on in his life. It is said that there's been so many translations of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, so many translations of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sridhar Maharaj has given translation. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written translation, isn't it? Baladeva Vishbhushana, Vishwanath Chakravarti. There's so many of our acharyas who've written the Bhagavatam. So the fact is, you cannot understand Bhagavatam simply by reading. It's not an academic process. It is a process of devotion, and one needs to be in the association of a devotee who is experiencing that topic, and then that topic can be impregnated into the heart. That's what this verse is saying. In the association of devotees, the wonderful activities of Krishna are heard, and they're very pleasing and satisfying to the heart and mind. If you cultivate such knowledge, you can become on the path of the liberation, and then firm faith and attraction and devotion to Krishna will follow. That's his verse, the Tambasanga Mahavira Zambador. So you should hear about Krishna. And then after you've heard, you'll come to understand about the Lord's activities. Because why is it that you have to hear from a devotee who's realized the topic? Can anyone say? There's a debate like this, because is there different qualities of sound? Because there is Prabhupada says, if you hear from a non-devotee, it's like hearing from the lips, hearing from tasting snake. What's that example? Yeah, tasting the milk. Milk touched by the lips of a serpent. So someone could be reading this Bhagavatam. If he is Mayavadi or non-devotee, what is the value of you hearing from him? Actually, there's no value. So therefore, you should hear from someone who's in disciplic succession, who is a proven devotee, who is approved of by the devotees. Now, why? Because that is called Shabda Brahman. If you hear from pure devotee who's realized the topic, that is Shabda, that is pure transcendental vibration, and it will enter into your heart. And then that vibration will change your heart. Therefore, that verse is there: "Shrimbatam svakata Krishna punya savanam kirtana riddhyantostru badani virunati sudhisthitam." Krishna is the benefactor of the truthful devotee, and he cleanses desire for material enjoyment. This is our problem. Don't forget, we have a problem. We have this body. It is trying to drive us on to enjoy. It's trying to drive us on to enjoy. We're finished now. So therefore we need to be cleansed of that desire, and that is done through this process of Shabda Brahman. This pure vibration enters into our hearts, and they are virtuous themselves when heard and chanted properly. They have a transcendental effect. The jiva is awakened to his original consciousness, and actually better than worship of Krishna is worship of Krishna's devotee. And Prabhupada says, specifically the worship of the devotee engaged in Madhurya Ras, as Mahaprabhu has bestowed on us all. There's never been such a magnanimous incarnation. Prabhupada says like that. Because this is in our line, this is what's been bestowed upon us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is bestowing that ras. So we should hear from that devotee. We have to finish shortly because there is an event going on in the temple. In fact, we'll probably have to finish now. Just one other thing. Yeah, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta is saying it is only after accepting Krishna, because by the associating devotee hearing about Krishna from a pure devotee, one can begin to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He has a transcendental form, he has transcendental pastimes, and he can engage in loving exchange with us all. So it's only after accepting that fact and accepting that Krishna is the object of the five types of rati. We were talking about rati earlier, our naturalist. If you come to the point where you realize that you want to exchange your loving exchange with Krishna, and you become very absorbed in that, then you can distance yourself from the influence of the modes of nature, and you can control the mind. If you don't have, if we do not become absorbed in Krishna's qualities, names, forms, pastimes, his devotees, his entourage, his mother, his father, his friends, his gopi friends, the land of Vrindavan, the trees, the rivers, the animals, if we don't become absorbed in that topic, then we'll become absorbed in the topics of the material world. This is what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta is saying. So we must it's very important that we become interested to hear about that topic. And then you'll come to the fifth dimension, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta mentioned. Krishna is the fifth dimension, in the sense that when one is finished with dharma, artha, karma, and moksha, so you have to dissolve the subtle body and the false ego, and get rid of the dharma, artha, karma, and moksha, and come to the fifth dimension. That's what Mahaprabhu has come to offer. Okay, thank you very much. Yes, there's more topics, but we haven't got time. Any questions, comments?